Well, good morning, everyone. It's time to start our worship service. If you don't mind, I ask you to stand if it's convenient for you. Matthew 1:23. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Who are we that you would be mindful of us? What do you see that's worth looking our way? We are free in ways that we never should be. Sweet relief from the grip of the chain. Hinges straining from the weight, my heart no longer can keep from singing. All that is within me cries, for you alone be glorified. Emmanuel, God with us.
Good morning. How are y'all? July 31st, I guess that's the day. Yeah. We'll have a special offering for the Haiti missions. I guess put it in the envelope and for the during offering. There'll be a baby shower table back there in the foyer for Evan and Zidane Stroh. I struggle with that. Also, tonight we'll continue the Detours Bible study. August 9th, there will be a nominating committee meeting at 7 p.m. The 11th of August, a deacons meeting and a business meeting on the 14th of August. And then for youth, this Wednesday for youth kids, sixth graders going into seventh or anyone else in the youth, Wednesday we'll be going to David Fultz's pool and having just fellowship and getting together. If you need to talk to us, you can talk to me or Erica after in church here. We'll also be going to the one conference meeting on the 13th, right before school starts. And Harrison, if you have a form, please get that to us this week so we can get y'all registered and be good to go. And then Awana starts on September 14th. So, a lot going on. Anyone else have any announcements? All right, will y'all pray with me? God, thank you for everything you've given us, Lord. I pray just thank you for the time we have here. God, I pray that we're grateful for every second we get. God, I pray for everyone has stuff going on and time getting busy right now, Lord. I pray you just be with us and keep us calm and keep you number one. God, thank you for everything you do, and I pray you watch over and protect us, and let's have a great week. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, thank you. All right, leaning on the everlasting arms, if it's convenient for you, I'm going to ask you to stand. One.
What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arm. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arm. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarm. Thank you.
sing it as well. Revelation 12:11, and they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, for they loved not their lives even unto death. The song's called Overcome. Thank you. he did overcome. Be seated, please.
Our men come to receive the morning offering. We're very delighted you're in the Lord's house with us today. One word about the Haiti offering. We just kind of threw that out for you. But some of you are well aware of the Haiti situation. When a couple different groups of us went and ministered there a few years back, and what was that we had here a while back? Day camp. Yeah. It's been so long I forgot it. Day camp. A group of kids took up some money, and we tried to figure out what we was going to do with it, and then discovered that in Haiti, the group that we had worked with there, had their teenagers meeting outside, and they're hoping to build a roof over them, and so that's what that's going to go to, and we decided to give you an opportunity to also be a part of that, so you know that if you give to that, and if there's not an offering envelope there in the pew, you can just write Haiti over in the corner, and our counters will pick up on that, and they'll divide that out. One of our men will come lead us in prayer.
Would you bow your heads with me? Our Father in heaven, great and mighty God, creator of the earth and everything that we see, we thank you that Jesus has paid the ultimate price for us, and salvation cost us nothing. But we thank you that you've given us the opportunity and the ability to give back, that we might be able to share the gospel with those around us, that this will be a place here in this county, and that people can come and worship Jesus and see the advantages and the blessings of all of that. We thank you that we are not compelled to give like some religions that force other people to give to accept salvation. We thank you that it is free and that our giving is absolutely voluntary. And the blessings that come from that will be that Jesus is glorified in this place. And these things we pray for in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you.
have a presentation to make today. Haley, where are you at? Haley in here? Yeah, there you go. Haley Fisk, one of our newest members of Osage Baptist Church. She received Christ as her Savior, followed the Lord in believers' baptism last Sunday morning. And Lily, this is a certificate of baptism that we hope you'll hang on your wall and be proud of and remind you of that great day that you accepted Christ and then that day that you followed him in baptism. God bless you. Good to have you. If you're involved in children's church, we're going to let you take charge of your group now. We have some guests that haven't been here before that I can remember. Is Memphis Cantwell in the house? He's gone? Had what? He's hungry. Well, he's here for the first time, and we want to welcome him, and we're proud of his mom and dad, and then Austin, who's got yours? Austin, introduce us to your son. All right, we're sure glad to have him. I kind of expected Austin to make a little speech or something. He likes to be in front of people so well. But we're certainly glad of these. I can't imagine that Marlene's got the baby. And y'all, she just kind of cabbages that. I don't know what the deal is. 1 John, the first chapter. Let's stand together as we give reverence to the reading of God's precious and holy word. And we have a lot to celebrate today. Our one of our great grandsons was in the children's hospital this past week with RSV and was really serious, and he is home as of yesterday, and we are thrilled about that, just thanking God for that. Three points I see in these two passages that we're going to look at. And we've already talked about one some. We're going to talk about that a little more today. But fellowship, if we know what fellowship is, joy is hooked on to that. Matter of fact, without that, there is no joy. You can't have one without the other. And then forgiveness. And I'm going to get into the forgiveness, the doctrine of forgiveness next Sunday. And Roger, while I'm thinking about it, will you bring your bow? Where's he at? People sneak out while I'm sitting down. Would you remind him to bring a bow and some arrows next Sunday? And I need one volunteer. And so y'all be thinking about that. We're going to be talking about sin. What sin means, the doctrine of sin, what that represents. And I've talked about that before, but anyway, It'll be a new event. I'm like a goose. I wake up in a new world every morning. So it'll be a new event. John 1, and beginning with verse 3. So we started last Sunday with verse 1. We're down to verse 3. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have, here's our word, fellowship with us. Now you have to catch hold of that. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. There's our other word. You locate it, joy. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have, there's our word, fellowship with Him, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have, here's our word again, fellowship one with another. So this fellowship is not, that John is talking about here, is not just fellowship between Jesus and the Father and the Holy Spirit. But here he's brought it down to also it's a fellowship. There's a kindred spirit here among Christians, a fellowship of Christians. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and the Word is not in us. Back up a little bit. All you have to do is, if you're where I am, turn south, but you'll turn north in yours. Second Peter, the first chapter of 2 Peter, and look down at verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. You may be seated. Finding fellowship in the local church. That's what the church should be about. Jesus said that they would know us by our love for one another. There's a deeper fellowship found in the church than is in anywhere else. Now you can have fellowship with the guys at work and the gals at work, people that you work on the line with, people that you take breaks with. You can have fellowship with friends down at school or guys that you go fishing with or go to the baseball game with, and that's one kind of fellowship. But it's not the kind of kinship, it's not the kind of fellowship shared with the brothers and sisters in the church. It's a much deeper fellowship. So how do we go about that? How do we make it part of our lives and part of our church? Well, 2 Peter here says partakers of the divine nature. Stephen Cook puts it this way when he defines fellowship. He says it means community of thought and interest. It means a state of unity and harmony. It is a mutual entering into of one another's experience. I thought that was a good definition. So we come to this place of whether or not we examine ourselves to see whether or not we're in the fellowship. Are we in this together? Are we part of what the Bible describes as this fellowship that we have among brothers and sisters in Christ? Get over in the Old Testament and look with me at the book of Joshua. Joshua, the 6th chapter, and go to verse 27. Joshua 6 and verse 27. If you found it, say amen. Good job. So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame was noised throughout all the country. But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. You see, God had given them specific instructions, just like he has given specific instructions for the church. When you read the New Testament church, you find that there's some instructions that are given to the church. Now, there'll be folks that want to tear those instructions out and do away with them. There'll be people that'll try to tell you, oh, that was just because of society then and how they saw things. But we're living in a new society, and that our culture is different from that culture. We don't have to go by that. But there are specific instructions given to the church that the church was to follow if it is to be a New Testament believer's church. And so God had given them instructions not to touch anything, not to take anything. They were to leave it just like it was. It'd be tempting for them to, but they were to leave it like it was. But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of, I don't know why I picked that verse. You know, I had the privilege of taking that out before I wasn't. Zabdi and the son of Zerah and the tribe of Judah took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. And Joshua sent men from Jerusalem to Ai, which is beside Beth-ven, on the east of Bethel. And he spake unto them, saying, go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but few. So there went up thither of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai smote of them about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate even unto Shibram, and smote them in the going down. In the going down of the sun. Wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. And Joshua rent his clothes, and he fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the evening tide, he and the elders of Israel, and put dust upon their heads. And Joshua said, alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites and to destroy us? Would to God we had been content and dwelt on the other side of Jordan. O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it and shall envir us around and cut off our name from the earth. And what wilt thou do unto thy great name? And the Lord said unto Joshua, get thee up. Wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? Israel has sinned, and they've also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them, for they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen and disassembled also, and they've put it even among their own stuff. So, was Achan in fellowship with the rest of Israel? He wasn't, was he? God had a plan for Israel, but Achan had his own plan. He had his own agenda. Members of the church who have their own agenda will keep us in trouble with God all of the time. The person who spreads discontent in the church has the spirit of Achan in their heart. We can't have a separate agenda. Everyone in the church has to have its own agenda. It doesn't mean that we're not involved in different ministries and do different things, but we're all of one heart and accord, and we are moving together as a force. Look with me at the book of Proverbs, the 6th chapter. Job, Psalms, Proverbs, you get right in the middle of your Bible, you'll find Psalms, and if you just keep turning, you'll come to Proverbs. And so come to Proverbs, the 6th chapter, and the 16th verse. If you found it, say, I found it. If you didn't find it, say, I'm still looking. No. These 6 things doth the Lord hate. Yea, 7 are abomination unto him. A proud look and a lying tongue and hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief. A false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. So we are to have the same agenda. Not discord, but you and I are to work to bring peace, harmony in the church and to one another and in families. So here in 1 John, John says there's an asset to all this. There's a reward for doing what is right. And some folks, and I like this, but they're good parents when they figure out how to reward their children for doing what's right. I mean, it doesn't mean that you don't punish them for doing what's wrong, but always rewarding them for doing what's right and bragging on them for doing what is right. I've always, I watch my great-grandchildren now that whenever they've done something that they know will please an adult, they clap. Yay! They take a step, they clap. Or one of ours, that's a good sound, by the way. One of ours was jumping on the trampoline, and every time he'd do something, he'd clap for himself. Well, you know, grown-ups wouldn't bring themselves to clapping for themselves, but everybody likes a attaboy. Done a good job. You did a good job. Thank you. Thank you for doing it. Thank you for that job that you did. Thank you for coming and working with our youth. Thank you for coming and working with the children. You did a good job in your Sunday school class. You did a good job in Awana. You came, you suited up, and you showed up, and you became a part of God's work, what the Lord was doing, and everybody needs that. That a boy, you did good. That's a good job. And we need that. And so here the Bible offers a reward for doing what is right, for that fellowship, for working on that fellowship. Marriage is not a 50-50 deal. Have you guys figured that out, gals? You have to work at it. You work at making it good. Russell been working at it? Has he? Pat him on the back. There you go. Son, and I'll pat him a little bit there. He's needing that. There you go. You work at it to make it better. You work at making it better. So we work at bringing this fellowship together. So he's talking about two different kinds of fellowship. He's talking about the fellowship between one another, how precious that is. And then he talks about the fellowship between us and God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And he says the offshoot of that, the reward for that, we find in verse 4. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Well, when I read that verse, I got interested in this word joy. Now, we use the word happy. Are you happy? But you know, happy depends on the happenings. We're happy if the happenings are okay. But this joy is so much deeper than happy. This joy reaches down into the innermost part of our soul, and that means it doesn't matter what's happening in our life or what's happening in our family, we still have joy. For one thing, because we've read the last chapter, we know what's going to happen. We know that the Lord's coming again. We know that He's prepared. I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll return again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And so that is all involved in that joy that is going to take place. Biblical joy is not based on who we are, but who Jesus is, and is connected with our relationship with Him. So there is a place that you and I can come to in this joy that can only be found through salvation. Can't be found any other way. There's a deepness that we only know through knowing Jesus as our Savior. Biblical joy cannot be taken away from us. Neither can your salvation, by the way. John's Gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, first four books of the New Testament. John's Gospel, the 16th chapter. If you found it, say, I found it before he did. Nobody? Yeah. 16, look at verse 22. Now, Jesus is preparing the disciples for his leaving. He's getting ready to be crucified. He's going to rise from the dead. He's going to walk among them for a month. And then he's going to ascend into heaven and prepare a place for us. And he says, you're going to feel sorrow after I leave. And he says, and you now, therefore, have sorrow. But I'll see you again, and your heart shall rejoice. And your joy, there's our word, and your joy, no man taketh from you. Now, our happiness could be taken from us. But here, Jesus promised us that our joy could not be taken from us. Biblical joy is based on our fellowship with the Lord, with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Look over in Psalms, the 16th chapter. Psalms, Proverbs. I like you looking these things up. Most of you can beat me. This new Bible I've got, I got an excuse. The pages real thin and they stick together. 16, Psalm 16, look at verse 11. Thou wilt show me the path of life in thy presence. How do we get in his presence? in thy presence is the fullness of joy. At thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Biblical joy comes through something that has taken place in our life called new birth. Jesus told Nicodemus in the third chapter of John, you must be born again. So you must be born again. And so new birth happens when we invite Jesus into our heart as personal Savior and our sins are forgiven. So something tremendous happens at that time in our life. The Holy Spirit of God enters us. And so we have Him. We have Jesus living in us by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so we're experiencing that fellowship through. He's given us a way to enjoy that. He's given us a shot to enjoy it. Over in the book of Romans, Romans 15. And look at verse 13. Romans 15 and verse 13. Now the God of hope. I started to say of all hope, but He is God of all hope. God of hope. Hope. This hope that the Bible talks about is not a hope so like we would think of, but it's a hope that is absolutely going to take place. And so He says, now the God of hope fill you, here's our word again, with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope through the, how does it come to us? Through the power of the Holy Spirit. Would you rather hear the rain or me preach? A little bit of both. Isn't that good? That's good for a country that's in a drought, I'll tell you. That's good news. It's like the pity, pity, patter of those feet going into children's church. That rain is good. Finally, Galatians, Ephesians, over in the fifth chapter of Galatians, almost to the end of the book, and verse 22. He's already told us here that power to be able to have that joy comes through the Holy Spirit living within us. Well, here He says that the Holy Spirit produces something in us. I've noticed that a peach tree produces peaches. Pear tree, pears. Apple tree, apples. I suppose you could trick the system some way by grafting in a limb that didn't belong. But in nature and natural, whatever the tree is, that's what it produces. So Galatians 5 and verse 22, the Bible says the fruit of the Spirit. And notice that's a singular term there, not fruits, it's fruit. The fruit of the Spirit. And that's capitalized. That Spirit is capitalized, so what does that mean? When you run across Spirit in the Scripture and it's capitalized, what does it mean? The Holy Spirit. Thank you, class. But the fruit of the Holy Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith. That joy comes through the power of the Holy Spirit living in us. The Bible says if we walk in the Spirit, we'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And so it's not just a matter of us being saved and being filled with the Holy Spirit. It becomes our part to walk in the Spirit in order to experience that joy that the Spirit means for us to enjoy. Mike, will you, Monica, come and help us? I want to give you an invitation today to receive Christ as your Savior. If you're here and not a Christian, that you'd make that all-important decision that I want to become a Christian. I want to be saved today, no matter what. If no one else does, if no one else in my family is, I've decided that I want to be saved today. Maybe you're here and you're already saved, and God's dealt with your heart about becoming a part of this fellowship. You want to join this church. We do that by coming forward and talking to me. And talking to me won't do anything other than I'll just tell you what's going to happen. But if you've been saved and scripturally baptized, that is, you've been immersed in the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit, and you believe that Jesus is the only way to heaven, you don't believe that that baptism saved you, but you believe what the Bible teaches, then we want you to become a part of this fellowship. We invite you to. Maybe it's a recommitment on your part, and you need to come and do that today. Recommit your heart and your life to the Lord. Not recommit sin, but recommit your heart to the Lord. Let's stand together. And if you have a decision to make, will you come right now and make that decision?
Kneel at the cross. Christ will meet you there. Come while he waits for you. Listen to his voice. Leave within your care. Begin life anew. Kneel at the cross. Leave every care. Kneel at the cross. Jesus will meet you.
Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, and Lord, we thank you for the rain. Thank you for the blessings that you bestow on us each and every day. We thank you for this church. We thank you for the privilege we have to be in this country. We ask that you go with us, guide us, and direct us through this week, and let us be a light for you in everything that we do. And we pray this in your name. Amen.